This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Parkins from the Mac and Parkins Show, afternoons 2 to 6. Well, Cubs and Sox fans, baseball is coming back to Chicago, so keep it on the score as we'll be discussing this, you guessed it, unprecedented 60-game season. Plus, of course, all the new rule changes and much more. It's all happening on the Mac and Parkins Show, afternoons 2 to 6, on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a Radio.com sports station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
You know, it feels great to get that win. It's, you know, I was due, and, you know, I felt like I really put in some hard work the last couple weeks. I felt like the game was really starting to come together. You know, even though there's no fans here, you still can feel the pressure, though. And probably the rain delay didn't help very much, because then I had time to, like, actually think about everything when I was, you know, I was kind of in the groove. I kind of got something going there on the back nine, and then had to sit and wait for an hour to go back out and play the last three holes and just hit an awful shot on 16. But, you know, got it done coming down the stretch.
Oh, indeed he did, and that drive on 18 of 350-something was a reminder of just what some guys can do, and other guys even at that level simply cannot or probably wouldn't try when he just needed a par. Dustin Johnson walking with some golf gods now with his 21st win, and he has now won in 13 consecutive years, one of just a handful to do that, there with some all-time greats. Here to talk about that and more is Rich Lerner of Golf Channel. He's on Twitter at RichLernerGC, and he's on the Altamonte Ford Hotline, Altamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Rich, how are you?
Dan, I'm doing well. I'm doing this interview with golf club in hand, and I'm phenomenal without a ball. I'm scratch with no ball, just a club. And I will admit to having, do not tell my wife, to having taken several divots out of doors, chairs, you name it, in the house. I can find them right now if I look hard enough.
The same thing happened here. We had one of those object lesson days where I came home and I knew something was wrong because I walk in and my son was just standing there and he's looking at me and I said, "What?" And he said, "Well, let me just say I was practicing bump and runs in the basement." And I said, "Okay."
I love the phrasing that your kid knows from a bump and run.
Oh no, trust me, he's destroying me. I always tell people right now I'm at a unique point in life, Rich, where I am now consistently losing to both my son and my father.
What's better? What's better than getting beat by your son?
Nothing. And my dad, seriously. Though. I mean, the two of them, I said, they're competing. I mean, they're going stroke for stroke.
Your dad's beating you?
Oh, yeah. I've never in my life have I beaten him, ever.
Your pop playoff of? Is your pop a single digit?
No, but he's pretty close lately. I mean, I think he shot like an 84 the other day. You know, we're saying that maybe he'll get to the point. The problem is when you have a home course that you've been playing for 40 years, and you know every blade of grass and every place to miss and every undulation for every pin placement. It's like it's a different level. The institutional knowledge is such you can't compete with it. But taking out chunks of drywall here and there, and there's scuff marks all over the place, finally outside again. But we've been watching a ton of golf, and frankly, what we've been seeing has been so impressive. These last three tournaments, there's just been so many shots made and so many dynamic young players out there. You've really had a product that's been selling itself.
Well, a couple things. I think we've learned in 3 weeks that while golf is obviously better with fans, you think about the Jordan Spieth bunker hole out in Hartford that we've been replaying the last week that happened 3 years ago. Yeah, obviously you want Fenway Park, bottom of the ninth, green monster home run to win. You want that electricity. We didn't have that, but it's very watchable without the fans. It doesn't kill it. And I think Dustin alluded to it, with or without fans, 3 feet, as Colin Morikawa had to stay alive at the Colonial the first week, or Dustin's drive at the 72nd hole, there's pressure with or without the fans. So I think the guys will get work done during the 3 month break. There's no question. The average winning score at the three courses we have now played a year ago was 10 under par. This year it was 18 under par. That is an enormous difference, trust me. And there are a couple of reasons. One, conditions. You get a little softer, guys will take it apart. But the fields have been substantially stronger. And that's the principal reason behind the great play.
Will this course in Detroit at the Rocket Mortgage Classic test them a little bit more? Because it's felt kind of like a pitch and putt for some of these guys with the distances.
It has been a pitch and putt. I mean, Dustin Johnson, Rory DeChambeau, these guys live in what I call a world of 340 out and 110 in. It's a very comfortable place to live in professional golf when you can hit it 340 and you have flip sandwich in. Par for you is 68, 67. Detroit is a classic old school golf course. I'm not on site. I can't give you a really good sense. They tore it apart last year, though. Nate Lashley, who's just in his own right, one of the all-time comeback stories. Nate Lashley, last guy in the field. Nobody knew who he was. 340-something, I think, in the world. And won at, I have to go look, 24, 25 under par. There's not, there's very little today that to defend against these great players. And when we had four under win at Bay Hill in March, greens were firm. It was windy. And it was kind of a typical sort of Florida week. And the rough was thick. That's really how you defend now against these long hitters. You have to narrow the fairways and grow the rough. And typically the PGA Tour is not inclined to do that. I think long balls and birdies entertain more than a grinding bogey fest. That's I think we like that at every now and then. Certainly at a major championship, the U.S. Open, you really want to test the guys. But I think week to week, they want to let these guys air it out. You mentioned Dustin's drive at the 72nd hole. He has a history of doing that at Oakmont. When he won his major, U.S. Open 72nd hole, he hit a seed and then a 6-iron close and made the birdie to win it. Doral cleared the Blue Monster, cleared the water a number of years ago on the last hole. I hit the 400-plus-yard drive downhill downwind at Kapalua that almost went in, that my partner Brandel Chambly called the greatest drive he's ever seen. Dustin Johnson, I call him the big dude. Dustin is not unlike, say, a Blake Griffin, speaking of Detroit, or maybe more apt would be like LeBron James. He's a physical specimen who can just rob you of your breath with his physical freakishness and his ability to dunk on you. I mean, just throw it down where you go, oh, my, did you see that? That's Dustin. And plus he has that, what he may lack off the course, off course in his interviews, he doesn't light up the TV. He makes up for with just how impressive he is, with the way he hits the golf ball and the way he carries himself. He looks. I'll give you another sports analogy. It's kind of the way he has like the Dustin swagger, the walk. He's the power pitcher who strikes out the side on nine pitches, 101 on the gun, doesn't even consider an off speed pitch, and then just saunters into the dugout as if it was nothing. That's Dustin. And a great athletic family. His grandfather, Art Wisnant, was a great basketball player many, many moons ago.
Well, so was he. Right? Wasn't he a tremendous basketball player in his own right?
Dustin was good. The legend has it that Dustin could and maybe still can dunk barefoot. Yes, you know, long levers, long arms, great physique, just an extreme shoulder turn and great speed through the ball and balance. And he's probably golf's most athletic, naturally gifted athletic player.
Harris English is the fifth player to test positive for COVID-19, joining Dylan Fratelli, Nick Watney, and others. The PGA Tour has decided to crank the dial a little bit on the protocols, saying that there will have to be a negative test to be allowed on property. What's the level of concern right now that you're feeling about the increase in positives?
I think they're concerned, but I also would say they're fairly confident in the protocols they have in place. I don't think they were naive enough to believe that they were going to, you know, make it to week four with no positives. I always believed that it would get harder as they moved along. They're not in one controlled environment as the NBA is planning to do, and we already know the NBA is going to have a difficult time making it all work. The tour's moving from city to city. I think we've, you know, sort of arrived at a period where not unlike, you know, COVID on the national level, when you just watch the news is, oh, okay, another positive today. Oh, and you move on. I don't mean to minimize it, but I think that's my observation as to where we've arrived. And I don't think they're at the point, talking about the tour, where they're, you know, considering shutting it down. That would require, you know, one day, six people announce that they're positive. Then I think we would stop in our tracks and say, hold on, what are they doing here? And to this point, and I don't, again, Cameron Champ being positive is no less serious, or Harris English, no less serious than if Rory McIlroy or Tiger Woods were to test positive, right? We know that, but we also understand the way media works and the way, you know, how you grab people's attention. If it is a bigger name, then I think that will invite more scrutiny. But I don't think we're at the point yet where they're considering a shutdown. I think they're at a point where they're managing it. And trying to move forward.
Talking with Rich Lerner of Golf Channel here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Big news in the broadcasting industry that NBC mm-hmm. has reacquired the rights to the USGA championships, including the US Open, and Fox looks like they kind of wanted to get out of the golf broadcasting business, and they have. So, you know, you mentioned the thick rough and the tight fairways. We see those at in US Open play, and now all of a sudden, like, our golf world is back in order a little bit. Is Johnny Miller going to come out of retirement?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, Johnny is synonymous with the U.S. Open going back to its playing days when he famously shot a 63 final round on a soft Oakmont golf course in 1973 to win. Fox has had it since, 2015? And I think they made strides and delivered some technological advancements that the other networks have followed suit with, and they're to be given credit. But the economics of pandemic era sports television have changed, and it's just not easy. And so I think there was an opportunity for all sides to do something that they felt was in their best interest. I think this is a great move for the USGA personally, and this is with no disrespect to Fox. And this goes beyond the U.S. Open. The number one property for the USGA is the U.S. Men's Open. But they have, I don't know what it is, 14, 15 other national championships. that matter to them and matter to all of the golfers who participate. Everything from a U.S. Boys Junior, U.S. Women's Senior Amateur, the Curtis Cup, the Walker Cup, which are high-level amateur events, the Four Ball Championship. Those were getting lost on FS1. Why? Again, no disrespect to FS1. Who would watch the U.S. Boys Junior, the U.S. Men's Senior Amateur? Would be a golf fan. Where does the golf fan park, Dan? You're a golf fan on the Golf Channel, mm-hmm. right? That's where you live if you're a golf fan. All of those now, which were largely unfindable at FS1, again, no disrespect, only because golf fans just kind of didn't know where to look, are now going to be home on the Golf Channel. And that will help the USGA immensely. Any initiative the USGA has, they'll be able to message that to their constituents, the golfers who are parked on Golf Channel typically. So I think it's great for the USGA. They can reach their core audience in a much more timely way, easier. And from our standpoint, it's great. We had the USGA contract for 20 years, and it was a big part of the portfolio. And it gives us a great schedule now with the Players Championship. Every other year, we'll have the FedEx Cup playoffs. We have the Open every single year. We'll have the Ryder Cup. We'll now have the U.S. Open, the U.S. Amateur, the Walker Cup to go with our NCAA coverage. It fits us perfectly. It's a huge win for Golf Channel and NBC. I do think it's good for the USGA. And if it helps Fox's bottom line overall as they focus on football and NFL and college football, then I would suppose it alleviates some financial pressure for them. And I think they did, they did certainly do a solid job in the last few years. And a lot of talented people, put their heart and souls into it.
Last thing for you, I'm looking at the field for the Rocket Mortgage Championship. It looks it's a little different. Some of the familiar names from the last three tournaments look like they might be taking a break here, but still relatively star-studded. Who's a good value bet? Who do you think might be ready to rise here?
I'll say DeChambeau. I don't know. Is he a bet? He wouldn't necessarily.
No, he's your favorite right now. 7-1. He's your favorite.
Give me some. I don't have the list in front of me. Give me some 25s and 30s.
You're 25. Sungjae Im is 25-1. Ricky Fowler's 30. Tony Finau is 33. Kevin Na is 35.
I'd say Na is a good value bet. He played well last weekend. Na 35. I like Na, and I like Sungjae Im. Those two guys would be very good value bets. And by the way, just to finish, I had mentioned Nate Lashley, the defending champion, one of the all-time stories. I didn't really complete the tale. I'll try to do this quickly. In 2004, Lashley was playing college golf at Arizona, and he was with his team in the Northwest at an NCAA regional event. And his mother and father and girlfriend flew on a private plane to watch him, as they often did. His dad had his own little plane. And on the way back, Nate was with his team. The plane crashed in Wyoming, and they all died, the girlfriend, the mother, and father. God. And so he set out on this kind of like 10-year journey where he, understandably was kind of lost and sad. And even when he won on the mini tour, he just couldn't escape the feeling that something bad was going to happen. So and he quit golf for a while, sold real estate, but he walked through it all. And finally last year, as an alternate and outside the top 300 in the world, he won in Detroit. Very powerful, very emotional story. So root for Nate Lashley. You get a chance. Yeah, Nate Lashley. He's the defending champ.
And you can get him at 150-1 if you want to place the bet on him.
151.
Yeah, 150.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah. So, anyway, Dan, it's good being on with you.
And, it's great.
By the way, you were talking about with your kid, and I have two boys. And I would say there's three stages of fatherhood. right? Stage one, they revere you. You can do no wrong in their eyes.
I'm well past that.
I'm in stage two. Stage two, they laugh at you. You're what a technical idiot you are. You can't work anything the way you eat. Right? Whatever it is, they laugh at you. Stage three is they feel sorry for you. And I'm holding off. I'm happy to be in stage two right now. They can laugh at me all they want.
Well, soon enough.
I can still kick their rear end in golf for sure. And occasionally, and they're both good basketball players, occasionally I can, with my size, I can post up, jab an elbow into their chest and you know, beat them up on the post in basketball. Well, even at my advanced age.
The mistake I made was when I acquiesced and got him this 60-degree wedge, and now it's just like it's shooting darts. And I stand over the thing and can't trust it and just get the complete heebie-jeebies trying to figure out what the shape of my swing. And this thing, it's just raining from the sky within 3 feet of the pin, and it's killing me. But, you got to be proud, right? Go, kid. Rich, this is wonderful. Thank you.
Anytime, buddy. Take care.
That is Rich Lerner of Golf Channel. Coming up next, we are going to continue a conversation we started yesterday as we were talking about potential alternatives to the national anthem. And I thought, well, why don't we track down some people who sing a national anthem and see what they might want to sing? Just if they were asked to sing something else, what would be cool to sing? We're going to ask Wayne Mesmer that question next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.